All right. Did you guys, I know I've been sending out the emails, but it's been a couple weeks, so you may not be trained any longer. But did you bring your journals? And if not, did you bring a cell phone? What's that? Oh, a couple extra journals back there if you want to run up and grab one. There's some pens on the box over there. Thank you. But what's the point of the journal? The point of the journal is we've been talking about hearing God's voice. And so there's two ways to teach. One is to talk about it, and the other is to just do it, right? And so we wanted to just give you guys a couple minutes to dial down and just see if the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And we believe that when we ask for him to speak, that he's faithful and he will, right? Because we're in relationship with him. And the Holy Spirit will share with us the things that Jesus is speaking, because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so for roughly 3 minutes, I'll even do the, like I did before, I'll set a little timer so that you guys don't all, feel like this thing is just off the rails, because it's truly not. But we want to ask, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. We're asking that you speak to us. You're a good God. You have plans for us. You've given us purpose. You've given us life. For some of us, you want to give us a new, fresh identity. And for some of us, you want to give us direction. For others, you want to give encouragement, even to share maybe with another person. Lord, some of what you want to give us is personal, and some is for everyone. And so we just ask you to have your way and speak to us, each one, right now as we open up our hearts and our ears to hear. And Lord, we love you. We're just so thankful that you're a God who speaks. So here we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just listen. All right. Did you guys connect? It's pretty cool when we can take a couple minutes, get quiet, right? Yeah, thank you, Lord. I just thank you for giving us a time of peace and openness. Dragging on, but does anyone have something that they feel like the Holy Spirit shared and it's appropriate for the group? It's not just for one or two or just for you, but it's worth sharing. Yeah, all right, well, one second. I need to get the microphone so that we can include the people in internet land.
My scripture is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I shall answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not yet know. And I think there's some people here that might be in transition, and I'm not really sure whether to turn to the right or the left, but I feel like the Lord is just to say, just to be still and wait, because he knows, and he's going to show you.
Awesome. Cool. Anybody? Very good.
Mine was, don't be afraid, for I am with you always, even till the end of time.
Awesome. Very nice. We're not to live in fear.
God just really put on my heart during that time joy for our children. And the scripture that came to mind was Proverbs 22:6, train them up in the way that they should go. And I was just listening to him just speak promises over our kids that are in kids' church right now. Mm-hmm. And he was just telling me that he infinitely loves them more than any of us do. And just wait. Just wait. He knows that it's the cry of mothers and fathers' hearts in this room that their children know him, walk with him, and that we're met again in eternity. And he was just saying, like, don't give up. And then he also put on my heart that there's mothers and fathers in this room that maybe their children are not walking with Christ. And he just said, I'm not done. I'm not done. Just wait. Just wait. And he led me to Jeremiah as well, Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Very cool. Anybody over here? Sorry.
Hi, guys. I just felt like God put on my heart to be set apart, sanctified, and chosen. And that was it. And then he brought me to Habakkuk 2. I will stand at the guard post and station myself in the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say and what I should reply about my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write down this vision and clearly inscribe it on the tablet so one may easily read it. And the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by his faith. Moreover, wine betrays. An arrogant man is never at rest. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and like death, he is never satisfied. He gathers all the nations to himself, and he collects all the peoples for himself. Won't all of these take up a taunt against him with the mockery and riddles about him? They will say, woe to him, and embasses what is not his. How much longer? And the loads himself with the goods take in pledge. Won't your creditors suddenly arise, and those who disturb you wake up? Then you will become spoil for them. I just felt like this was God saying, you know, I am going to give you a word, and I won't be late, and I am coming. So kind of like turn from your ways of kind of like debauchery and all that jazz.
Yeah, and write it down, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Did I miss anybody, or are we moving on? Scanning. Now scanning. Okay, cool. It's a good exercise, right? Yeah. And some of us, if we receive something for ourselves and it's not worth sharing, then I also congratulate you, because not everything that he says is for everybody, right? And so when we restrain ourselves, we show that we just understand the mind of the Lord and the heart of God. And so for those of you who didn't share, but you had something and it was for you, thank you. Thank you for keeping it personal, you know? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, Lord, we just ask that as we open up your word, that you'll share exactly what's on your heart. And Lord, we say, whatever it is, we say, yes, we want what you want. And so we ask that you encourage us and bless us, but also challenge us, God, and transform us and wake our hearts up. And Lord, even the dead places of our soul, just wake it up, God, that it would completely run after you wholeheartedly, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Man. All right, you with me? You guys are quiet, so I'm just always asking. Couple weeks ago, man, it's almost, what was it, 3 weeks ago, we started to read a couple verses, and then the whole sermon just went a different direction. So I didn't get a chance to even take off from where I was intending to go. So we'll just kind of pick up where we left off. But where we were in Acts 11, verse 19, we started with the story of that Stephen was murdered, right? And so that's not exactly a high point in the church history, right? And so the Christians began to move away to avoid persecution. It happens, right? And some of them moved as far away, it's about roughly 300 miles away, to an area called Antioch, which is in modern-day Turkey. Right? Sometimes I feel like moving away. Do you? I mean, sometimes. Sometimes I threaten for about 5 minutes. And then in Acts 11, verse 21, it says, the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles, that's the people from Turkey, believed and turned to the Lord. So I want to call out that thing again where it says the power of the Lord was with them. It wasn't the perfect argument. It wasn't the perfect Bible track, right? And it wasn't perfect people that led these Gentiles. These are people who did not know the Lord to suddenly want to know him, to believe and to turn toward him, right? So they were led by power of the Lord that was in these people's lives. Amen? We need the power of God. We need his power like never before. Nobody said amen, but I will. Amen, Daryl. Good stuff. Isaiah 55:11. You guys know this one, I'm sure, right? My word will not return void unto me, but it will accomplish that to which I send it, right? There's power in the words of God to fulfill exactly what he has spoken. There's no word that the Lord has spoken that he doesn't have the power to perform. He doesn't waste his breath, right? And the stuff that you guys wrote down, I'm proud of you for writing it down because there's power in those words. For those of you who are like believing for your children, for example, right? You write that down and you read it several times if you have to. Get it in your heart. Get it. I mean, my children will follow the Lord, right? My children will know not only about him, they will know the goodness of God. Right?
How do you know, Daryl?
Well, because we have verses in the scriptures that agree with what Nikki said, for example. And so we're going to weigh what Nikki said versus what the Bible says. And if they're saying the same thing, we have to say, okay, they're in agreement. Sounds like the same God, not some like two different voices, right? So we're only going to follow the voice that comes from here, but he brings it to life by speaking for real, right? Amen. 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 Now, there are times where it's appropriate for Rach and I to text each other, right? But you don't want a relationship built on that. And so the Lord, he speaks to us. This is like his text to us, right? But he doesn't leave it that way. He speaks to our heart too, and he's consistent with himself. So what he speaks, what he's spoken, it's the same God. He never changes today, yesterday, today, forever, right? Thank you, God. So as this church began to explode with believers coming in, and these are like non-Jewish people. That's what the word Gentile means. So these people have no idea even how to approach God, right? At least the Jewish people kind of had the Old Testament. They sort of understood that all those things sort of pointed to the heart of God and who he was, and they could, you know, they could easily learn and, you know, move in that direction. But these people, I mean, they're, if you're talking about King James, he would have referred to them as barbarians, right? And so they didn't even know where to begin. So the church sent Barnabas to Antioch, and then Barnabas brought with him Saul, which would later be known as Paul, right? And we talked about a couple, 3 weeks ago, that Barnabas' name was son of encouragement, and that even the spirit of prophecy, which is the ability to hear God's voice, is based in exhortation, edification, right? That comes out of 1 Corinthians. So even God's voice is not a destructive voice, it's an encouraging voice. And even when he wants to bring conviction into our life, it's not a crush us under his foot kind of conviction. It's an actual encouraging conviction. It's a conviction that makes us come running back to him, not running away from judgment. Right? Because perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, and Ron said, don't be afraid. I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Even if you screwed up, I'm still there. Right? Amen. And Jesus said it before Ron did. Just in case. Just in case. Huh? All right. What do you think? Jesus borrowed it from Ron? He's like, that's good. I'm taking that down. Right? All right. It was during this time now, okay? So we understand, I just called out these pieces. So big persecution, not everybody left, but many Christians leave. They move up to 300 miles away, start a church in the middle of nowhere among unchurched people like New Hampshire, and then, right? What? No, but in southern New Hampshire, I'm talking to a local organization that believes that we're roughly 4 to 6% churched in southern New Hampshire, in this valley right now. I don't know because I'm not counting, but this organization is because they're working with churches. It's not an official count, but it's the best we got.
That's like the peak of New Hampshire.
That's the peak?
Like 4 to 6%.
Yep.
That's like the peak. I think it's like 1 to 2 statewide.
So there's only room to go up from here.
Amen.
Amen. And this is where God can be like, God could move like 1 or 2% of the state, and that would be like almost double us, right? Right? It would be amazing. So just keep believing and praying. But It did. And it's not going to stop. Yep. So Acts 11, continuing in verse 27, it was during this time that some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. So they made the 300-mile trip to bless and encourage this new church. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. Okay, imagine, right? Some dude just stands up in church and everybody knew who he was and that he made the journey specifically to speak to the church. So it wasn't like he was random, right? But at the same time, think about it. Some guy just prophesies, a big famine is coming to this entire empire, right? And that was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius, which probably, I was trying to do the math and history is kind of foggy, but it looked like it probably happened somewhere around 4 or 5 years after this moment that famine hit. There were roughly 4 famines that hit over the next 13 years. There were 2 that hit the Roman Empire directly in the core in Italy. 1 hit Greece, and then 1 that hit Jerusalem, Israel area, just like Agabus was saying, right? And sometimes these things are all kind of related, right? So it's hard to get like right in there and say, it happened on July 23rd, suddenly, famine, right? And, supply chains get ruined when Italy's down, and you don't get it, right? And as heat starts to pick up and plants are dying and people are using off their stores and it increases. And so there was this point where Emperor Claudius is the emperor, that's Nero's dad, in case you guys don't know Claudius, and this famine hits, and people are starving. There are literally, by 4 or 5 years after this moment, there are people literally dying because they just could not get food. Couldn't grow it, couldn't acquire it. All right? Pause, go back to verse 29. So the believers in Antioch who just heard a dude speak, okay? They believed that God was speaking. They knew something in their heart said, our heart is burning inside. This is so much more than just a guy speaking. This is God speaking to us. They decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could, as they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. They literally said, and you'll find this out more in Philippians, that they felt, the churches of the area felt that they owed their very souls to the people of Jerusalem for sending Christians into the world to teach them about Jesus. They were lost, and now they know Christ, and they felt they owed. You know what I mean when I say the word owed? Like Philippians uses that term, they felt they owed their very soul to the people of Jerusalem. And so they collected a giant offering. And we'll find out through 1 Corinthians and we'll find out through Ephesians and some in Philippians that they were taking up offerings for even a couple of years. And they stockpiled this change, this chunk of change that they were able to deliver to a people 300 miles away who were hungry. And they were prepared to do it because they had a 4 or 5 year advance warning to get ready. That's pretty dang cool. That's pretty cool, right? So how many of you have ever, just by show of hands, had the Lord give you a warning to change directions in something and it was like, oh, I'm so glad I listened to that. Right? Even if it's just stranger danger. Right? And then how many of you, just by quick show of hands, not so we can laugh, but wish you'd listened. Right? So God is a God of direction, and he gives us advance warning, and he tells us what to do, right? And a lot of times when he gives us that warning, it's not when we're panicking and we're worried. It's usually when we're at peace and not even thinking about it, and it's like something just sits in our heart like, oh, right? Yeah, like these people, they were just worshiping and they were having a church service and then, whoa, famine's coming. What are we going to do about it? Kind of a feeling dropped on their lap, right? It's not often when, the sun is hot and the grass is burned and the crops aren't growing. That's when it's like, oh God, what should I be doing? That is what we call a panic reaction. Right? So why are we talking about this? I'm calling out proactively sitting before Jesus and talking to him. so that we don't have to get caught when the time of famine comes with the, oh, holy cow, what are we going to do now? Response. And that's a valid response, but it's not nearly as effective. Yeah? The proof is in the fact that, like, for 4 or 5 years, churches are collecting money to give to the people so that they could be taken care of during the time that they needed it, right? God was already moving on hearts 5 years before in order to protect and to solve problems and in order to, right, make a way where there was no way. That's pretty cool, right? Think what we could do if we were listening. Think what we could do if we were listening. The first thing that I want to point out is these people just believed the word. They accepted the word of this prophetic person. And, you know, I can't train you how to know when you're hearing from God. I can only train you to listen, to recognize voices. And when you know it's God, when you know it's when you know it's him and your heart inside is burning, then listen to that voice. And when you hear that other voice and you do and you recognize that that thing's not God, maybe you listen to it and the only place it led you was down into like guilt and condemnation and disappointment and failure. You remember that voice and then never listen to that voice again. That's all I can train, but it's everything we have, right? Listen to the voice that agrees with this. And this tells me that God's a God who, by his very nature, who never changes, is the kind of God who cares so much about a place 300 miles away. He's willing to use people to respond and to listen and to understand how to proactively solve a problem, right? He's an amazing, good father. So I'll listen to the voice that's consistent with that, right? Amen. They responded with action, and I think that is so important. Believe me, I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not trying to tell us to do anything today, okay? So this is not a sales pitch. If you're wondering, all right, what's the cause? No, there's no cause, okay? All right, cool. But they believed that there was an action that needed to be taken, and I believe that too. I believe that when we hear God's voice, sometimes it's as simple as writing it down so that we can keep it and proclaim it. You can stick it to your wall and make sure that you speak that thing in faith. And sometimes it's, I just want you to get off your butt and do the thing I asked, right? Man, we need to have some real Walmart experiences where we just hear God's voice and say, okay, I don't like it, but I'm going down aisle 5. Right? The wrong direction. No mask on. Yeah. No mask on. No one. Not too long ago, I did have a mask in my pocket, and the guy was like, hey, you got your mask? Yep, and kept walking. Huh? Yeah, he just asked if I had. Yeah, it makes a good slingshot. All right, I shouldn't have said that. We're on the internet. This is going to incriminate me. YouTube might shut me down. So I should be dead by now. They collected offerings over a long period of time, okay? So this was not God saying, hey, everybody, I want you to take off your watch and pull out your wallets and shake down everything, right? It wasn't like that. It was, we have time because he's a good God. He's a peaceful God, right? He's not here to break us. And how many of us, when we hear God give us direction, we're like, no, you're trying to ruin me, right? You're trying to break me, aren't you? And he's like, come on, don't be so dramatic. Right? Have you ever felt that? Or he's not going to break us. Yes, he will totally bring down our pride and he will refine us and he will just eliminate that carnal man within each one of us, right? I mean, that's just who he is. But he does it out of love. And the illustration we have in John 15 is that he's pruning. So he's just snip. You didn't need snip. You didn't need that snip. It's not like he's destroying us, right? And so in this example, what we saw was these people had years to collect. And Paul would say to some of the other churches, I'll be coming by as soon as I'm done in Greece. I'll be months out. So I'm just asking that you guys get together and set a date every week where you come together and give as you can. And then when it's over, you won't be surprised when I show up and say, where's your donation that I'm bringing to Jerusalem, right? He was very practical and easy, and there's steps. And man, God is a God of steps. As parents, right? Aren't you just happy at times that your kids try, even if they fail, but they try, they took some steps. You're like, yeah, lots of grace for that. Yeah? We just don't love it when they don't even try. Right? It's like, come on. Come on, man. My son, Nate, he'll like, Dad, I need help with math. Oh, okay. Like, how many problems are we talking? All of them. Well, okay. Well, like, what are you learning? I don't know yet. I didn't look. Well, how do you know you need help? Because I do. It just doesn't never make sense. Right? That's us as Christians when we're not listening to the Father. We're just like, come on, right? I have total grace. Okay, you tried and you just couldn't solve it. And okay, well, show me the work and how far you got, and then I can tell you exactly where you're starting to spin off in the wrong direction, right? Yeah. In judo, man, they say you can't throw somebody until you have their motion in action. Right? So the Lord is waiting to see people in action, then he can guide. I order the steps, but you got a step, he's saying. Amen? I know it feels like I'm all like all over the place, but I'm teaching a theme here, a lasagna of God's goodness in his voice. It has layers. Yes.
Thanks. So I was not going to share the word that God gave me because I thought it was for me. So the more that you're talking, I realize that it's for everybody in the congregation. And it's really a perspective from him speaking directly to me, but to all of us. And it starts out and he says, how do you start and end your day? Be disciplined and spend time with me. Give thanks and praise for all that I have given you. Your time on earth is short when comparing to eternity, but it's very important. Walk with confidence, knowing you are saved, and be the light to those in darkness. Bring joy, peace, and love all in my name. Help others who are broken to seek true freedom. Know that the race is not done, but I am running alongside you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Better late than never, right? Very cool, man. It almost sounded like it was straight out of Jesus Calling. It's great. I just love that there was a touchdown that happened with, like, God threw a four-year, let's just call it four-year, could be five-year, long pass. And that the church was the quarterback that caught the ball and delivered it 4 or 5 years later for a touchdown. Like, just amazes me, right? Just think of where we could be positioned today if we would just really press into his voice and not be like, I don't do my devotionals. They're boring. I fall asleep when I read my Bible. Like, come on. We might in 5 years from now have this amazing pass if we would just open ourselves up to his voice speaking today, right? Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not resist it, the Bible says, right? That's in Hebrews. Today, if you hear it. The story shows the critical importance of God's power in our daily life, his voice and his power at work. And his power must have seemed extremely powerful to the person 5 years from now who's watching their children starve to death, and suddenly someone shows up with a bunch of money and food. That must have been like, hallelujah choir, angels are singing, my kids are not going to die. Oh my God, right? Like, just, I'm just imagining parents are a mess with gratitude in that moment. And it must have seemed so amazing. And if you really rewound the tape 5 years ago, it was, you know, someone saying, I have $10 today. I'm going to bring that for that family. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, God in his power is leading people into small steps today that become big miracles in the future. So that's for somebody who is despising small beginnings. Is there anybody here that's, you don't have to admit it, but feeling that I'm looking at a foundation, but I wish I was looking at a building, and I'm despising the smallness of this thing. I want to be so much farther. And he's like, don't worry about it. Keep moving, keep believing, keep listening, keep seeking, keep obeying. You don't know the math, the duplication that occurs, right? It's like compound interest.
Your husband's name? Andrew. Okay, just like Andrew said, I wasn't going to share this either. I thought it was, okay, it's just for you, Nicole. But I kept hearing, just keep going, just keep going. I kept hearing that over and over and over in those 3 minutes. And what you were saying about children, I think Holy Spirit had a line to both of us. It's pretty awesome. But I keep hearing also the journey is the destination, and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. And also to add to what you said, I did not get into the Bible until recently. Remember when I was asking about New Living Testament, is this good? Yeah. And I kind of dug my heels in and kind of like half secular world, half Christian world, and I really don't want to read my Bible. And once I started, I was like, this is awesome. I was like so on fire now, and it's so, like, the kids are seeing me different. It's so great. Thank you.
It's awesome. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, keep going with it. I also want to point out, like, the next couple of verses, if I can. This comes in Acts 12, and it's going to seem like a shift, and it's not, okay? But just go here with me. Acts 12, verses 1 to 3. It says, about that time, King Herod Agrippa, that's the king of Israel, began to persecute some believers in the church, and he had the apostle James, that's John's brother, killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much this pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. Okay, so what we're going to refer to this as is a persecution sandwich, okay? Persecution started, and people left, and they were afraid, and they moved to Antioch, right? Now, they're beginning to collect their offerings, and this is important. You're feeling like you're obeying God. You're making baby steps. You're like Nicole right now. This is working. It's amazing, right? And that's usually when, and I'm not just saying this to discourage you, I'm telling you this to actually encourage you, but to also set your expectations. There's a King Herod that's not going to like that. Okay? There's resistance. When you're doing the right thing, there's resistance, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle with rulers and principalities and powers of darkness. And if you're shining, then darkness says, ech, right? And it presses against you. But that's okay. That's okay. That just means you're graduating, right? No one breaks into an empty house, right? There's nothing of value. So what we get to see is the church is now collecting money while keeping their heads down, right? Their hero, James, is dead. And they loved James, right? They loved him. And he's dead. He was one of the sons of thunder. And imagine this, still collecting for a people, you know, probably in the heart saying, I wonder if they'll ever even know that they're loved. I wonder if this is even adding up to mean anything. I wonder if these people will ever get it, right? Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have your heart broke because the very thing that you're pressing toward seems to turn around and want to bite you? Yeah? It's okay. It's okay. The Lord can take things in motion and flip them. Bam. That's often why throughout history we see when the darkness gets really dark, that's usually when the bam revival happens, because he can take things in motion and very quickly use that energy for his good. You know what he said was, I would rather see you hot or cold, but not in the middle, right? Because you can't do much with lukewarm. But when you're either hot or cold, I can flip that energy. Bam. Right? Some of you are going to do, you're going to get this. You're going to get it. So imagine, now imagine what happens when the people are starving. Their leader is now declaring open war against Christians. And then Christians walk in and say, oh, you're hungry? We've been saving for 5 years. I don't imagine they needed to have a track that day to present the gospel. I don't imagine they needed the perfect argument or the right training to say the right thing when, oh yeah, well when they'd say this, how do I flip that back on? None of that. I bet you God was so real to them in that moment when they were being fed that that was all that was needed. I think fish were jumping in the boat, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if the king hates you and wants to chop your head off. Man, I think you're the greatest thing. Right? I think that's pretty amazing. Do you? All right, so that speaks to the fact that even in persecution, if you feel like you're being pressed on by someone in your life who's really persecuting you, it's the goodness of God that's going to meet them in that place and show them where their persecution was unjustified and why the thing that they were resisting was the thing that they actually needed and wanted and just didn't know it yet. Some of you, you have family members that are persecuting you and they just don't like you because you are a believer and they think you're nuts. Hold on. It's your witness that will bring them. It's the goodness of God through you that will bring them to the Father, right? And for some of you, you know, I'm just going to say it, but we're praying against certain people, certain moves because we see what they're doing. We believe is wicked and it probably is. Let's just assume you're right and it is. It's wicked, right? And we're like cursing or we're praying against those people and what they're trying to do. And I understand. I feel that way too, okay? But we have to remind ourselves and center ourselves back on the fact that God's goodness is going to get them. And that is going to be far more exciting than just opposing them and putting them down, right? Wait till these people who have such audacity to harm other people, right, are flipped and become Paul's instead of Saul's. Watch when that audacity becomes a tool of the kingdom of God and not an enemy to it. You know what I mean? So I'm just challenging you to begin to ask God to see with the eyes of faith and not with the eyes of anger and injustice, because it's so easy to look at injustice and say, I hate those people that are causing it and I would just like to see them just fill in the blank. Right? Well, I'm human, you're human, we all feel the same way. So we need to change some things, amen? Running out of time here. I love the fact that while the political system around them was trying to cancel culture them, the church came in and solved a humongous problem. I just love it. Know what I mean? And we do have these encouragements from the Lord, which were, you know, to be in the world but not to be of it. But man, if we could be in the world, not of the world, and yet have the solution from the kingdom of God to meet the world, that's the piece we got to put back into our equation. It's like a missing variable. We've spent so much time and effort trying to be in the world and not of it that we lost the art of also bringing the kingdom of God down into it, right? Yippee-ki-yay. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's okay. I mean, the church of our nation, our generation, the church of the West, I mean, you know, I can't speak for every one of them as a whole, right? But we can say overall we've seen such a powerless church, a church that, you know, gets offended at things, that separates and divides over things, a church that's not full of encouragement or the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're more about our programs. We're more about, you know, the show, right? And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to, but it's okay. I mean, the Lord is not moved by these things. It's time for us to just grieve the loss of that and say, today's a new day and I will not be a part of that problem any longer. I will actually go against that, even that challenging culture within church, and I'm going to be a different person in the church. which is in the world. Right? It's okay. Maybe for a couple days here, you just need to grieve the loss of it and say, but Lord, send me. That's been my prayer lately. The workers are few. The harvest is great. Send me. I don't even know what you want to do with me, but send me. I'll figure it out, right? I think we all need to be there with our hands open. Throw me the ball. Throw it to me. Right? Isaiah was like, send me. And then he suddenly scared himself. He's like, I realize how imperfect and impure my lips were. Anybody? Yeah, and then the angel was like, I got a problem. I got a solution for that problem, right? And he purified his lips. And so this is all I'm saying is the heart has to be open. Throw me the ball. I know I'm not perfect, but you're perfect, and you can be perfect through this imperfection, and you can do what I can't do. I'm open, right? Yeah. Ecclesiastes 1:18, I don't have this on the scripture, I'm just going to read it for you. It says, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge is to increase in sorrow. Sometimes when we wisen up, we look at the rest of the world around us and we're like, I feel so bad. Like I've been living in a facade and now I feel like broken about it. It's like, okay, get over it, grieve it, let it go, and keep chasing after the wisdom of God. Right? He didn't come for a powerless church. He came back for a bride. Right? Yeah, I've got probably going to go into that next. I'm actually probably going to revisit some of the sermons that I first preached at this church even before I was pastor here, just knowing if this was the body that I could learn to work with. And I'm feeling like it's time to go back to some of that. Yeah, yeah. It was. Wow, my mother-in-law was listening. I know. I know. I'm being funny. No, we like to joke. We're not serious. I love my mother-in-law. She's my favorite mother-in-law. Best one I ever had. Yeah. But I would like to just throw up some of the prayer topics and let's see if they fit. I hope they do. But we want to cry out for the church, and it's all in caps because I want to make this about River, but so much more than River. To experience the power, the encouragement, and the voice of the Holy Spirit, to be effective in reaching the lost and making disciples. I mean, that was like the last thing Jesus asked us to do before he went back to heaven. And I want to be busy about those, doing those things he asked. Yeah. To my shame, sometimes I feel like my actual efforts are going toward survival, family, and then maybe doing services with the church. And that's all great stuff. Those things need to get done. But man, those weren't on Jesus's list, right? So those are just like the necessary things that need to happen. Like a soldier going to war needs to load the gun, needs to, right, prepare the things that they're going to need, supplies and so on. But they need to train. But really what they need to do is go fight a war, right? Am I talking your language-ish? Okay, so yeah, so God. Number two, we cry out for your direction so we can work well together and experience your greatness among us. It's not enough that one or two of us get there. I really feel like we all need to get there together. Amen. Right? Like all of us. And then number three, let love drive us to encourage each other toward the greatness you have in store for us. And that word love is so important. Because, and it's not necessarily just a love for each other, but when we have a real passion for who Jesus is, and we let that drive everything we do, everything we say, and the way we treat each other, and the way we champion each other, and each other's dreams, and each other's ambitions, and each other's ministry goals, and all that, and when we're like, yes, you are amazing, and I believe you can go do that, and you're going to be perfect when you do it. Like, if we could start being that way to each other, and actually mean it and not just sound like it's canned response, we'll be like a well to water each other. You know what I mean? So critical to being brave enough to step out and try. And if we screw up, it's like, yeah, not so great. But I know you're better, and you can do better, right? And go for it. Keep going. Don't stop. Yes? Amen. So I want to pray for these things. Do you guys want to pray for these things? Yeah? One of you? It's okay if you need to snap a photo or whatever you got to do. That's great if you can pray even at home. So I have the mic if you want to just wave at me. But Heavenly Father, I just love that you're speaking. I love that you're training. I love that you're giving us hope. I love that, Father, you're calling us outside of ourselves. I love that, Father, I know you're doing this to more churches and more people than actually are here in this room. Lord, that somehow I know that the body of Christ is speaking in concert, even though we're not together physically, God. I know, Father, that we're closer to the end than we ever were the last days. And I know that you said you would come back for a bride who's spotless, without blemish. She's beautiful, she's powerful, she's perfect. And so, God, we just hear the call of the bridegroom who says, I'm coming, be ready. And I ask, God, that you release power once again through the church. I ask, Father, that whether the steps be small like we saw in our Acts story today, or whether the delivery be huge, we really don't care. We want to leave it in your hands, but we ask that you do it, God. We ask that we would be a people who knows your voice. We ask that we would be a people who burns with passion for you, a people who burns with passion for the lost, and a people who will say yes and obey the moment we hear your voice. Thank you, God. You're making all things new, and you're breaking all of our little programs and all of our little church activities, the ones that are going to compete with you, and you're only going to line us up in a direction that agrees with your kingdom, Father. And so we just surrender everything, Father, every piece of our life, our church, our family, we just surrender it all to you and say, God, you can break the pieces that don't belong, and you can put us all back together in a way that pleases you, because we are yours. We declare you are Lord, and we want nothing less than what you want. And we're hungry to see you make that change in our life, God. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Is there anyone else that feels just stirred to pray over?
Lord, I praise you this morning, and I just thank you for your faithfulness to all of us, Lord. And I just want to pray, because as I was praying this week, the Lord just reminded me of a word that a couple people got at this church, and I got to share it, where the church no longer had walls. The walls were down, and the name was gone. And it just showed me that the sign should just say, God's church, that God doesn't want us to stay in the midst of these four walls. He wants us out there because we're the church. This is not the church. We are his hands and his feet and his mouthpiece and his heart. And we're the only Jesus so many people will ever see and know. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that you would pour your anointing on every person in this place, that you would pour your spirit out on us, Lord, in such a way, Father, that you would give us a desire and a burning desire in our hearts, Lord, to get out of here and to get out there and do a mighty work for you. Lord, I pray for revival to come and start it with all of us. Lord, I pray that we, as we pray, we would hear your voice, but we would see those things that we're praying for through your eyes and from your heart and from your spirit and from your perspective, that we could see the church the way you see it, that we could see, Lord, church. That is your heart, your spirit, your vision, because it's so much more than we've ever experienced, and it's so much more Jesus than we've ever been able to even be a part of yet. So Father, bring revival, and as you bring revival, break out the walls of this church and every church. Break them down and get us out of here and get us out there, Lord Jesus, that we could minister as one, that you would bring us together, Lord, with others, that you, Father God, would do a powerful work. Lord, we just offer ourselves to you, our hands, our feet, our hearts, our spirits, us. And I just say, Lord, do it. Do a mighty work and anoint us that we may go forth and speak with your spirit speaking through us. And touch the lives of people right now that need you, Jesus. God, do a powerful work. I just pray that you, Lord, would come and give us this burden. And as you do, use us mightily. Lord, I ask you to lift up your hand against any spirit of fear and those of us that feel inadequate. Because, you know, many of us, Father, we just don't even feel we can do it. Who are we? We're nothing. And we humble ourselves before you and realize, yes, we are nothing because you are everything. And that's what we want, Lord, those of us that are in that place. Praise God. So, Lord, we humble ourselves before you and we say, Lord, use us, anoint our giftings, get us out there, but do a work. And those, Father God, of us that feel inadequate, thank you. Because when we are weak, you are strong. Because when we don't know what to do, you speak to us and you tell us whether we should go to the right or to the left. As it says in the book of Isaiah, we'll hear your voice speaking and you will work through us. So I just pray, I pray, I pray. I bless you and I worship you and I thank you. And I just say, come, Lord Jesus, and fill us and do a powerful work, Lord Jesus, a powerful work. So that you may be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord's reminding me too that we need to be careful not to be a body who is lukewarm. I think some of us, we've all had seasons where we get a little too comfortable with the status quo. And I think God wants us to be shooken up a little bit. And there's some of you in here, I think God's really wanting to say today, there's things that need to be laid down today. He needs you to step out. He needs you to be moving for him and doing the things that he's called you to do, to be fulfilling the giftings that he's given you. You're standing in your own way. He has so much for you that he needs from you. And please don't receive this as condemnation. It is a loving conviction because there's so much greater things to come. So if you're feeling that stirring, and you need help to overcome some things, and there's things that are holding you up and that you know it's time to let go of these things, don't tolerate the status quo. Don't be lukewarm.
Yes.
As I pray in agreement with Karen, because we do see the walls of the church break down, but they're breaking down not so that we can be a social club. They're breaking down not so we can just form more friendships and have more parties and get together. And that's wonderful because we do need that fellowship. We do need to break bread with one another and form strong bonds, but he wants us to go out and walk among the lepers. He wants us to go and walk around the people that are hurting and broken and make friends with those people, with the drug addicts and the people that are really, they're hopeless. Because as the churched people, we're not hopeless. We're not hopeless. So we really need to spend our time out among the hopeless.
thank you, Father, for perfect execution. That it's in your time, it's by your blood, it's by your power, it's by your spirit. It's not by our might or our power. And so we surrender. We say yes, God. Dig up the old wells, we pray. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If anyone needs prayer, if you need prayer about laying something down, maybe you want prayer for healing, you know, whatever you're doing, if you'd like to meet Jesus, come on up and we'll pray with you. Maybe Karen, if you don't mind hanging out a little bit. Anyone else who wants to pray, please come. And for everyone else, don't forget your children. They need you.